Welcome along, I'm Alan Williams and this is the Alan Williams Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, episode 138 of the podcast, You're Not Hearing Things, I'm back on the air. Exactly 8 weeks after episode 137, so that 2 month delay, I do apologise for it. There has been a lot going on, and today I'm going to give you a clearer understanding of what has been going on and why I haven't been recording the podcast over the last 2 months. Firstly, I've got a new microphone. Can anybody notice the difference in the audio quality? Can you hear any difference? I don't know if there's a huge difference, but it maybe is a little bit better. So yeah, I hope it makes your listening experience a little bit more pleasant. Couple of things then. So the big thing that I was working towards over the last 2 months was our live client event. We had a live event in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, which was absolutely incredible. It was one of the best days I've ever had. It was initially meant to be just a client day. Then I decided to open it up to the public because realistically, having the opportunity to speak at a venue like the Aviva Stadium might never come up again. It could be a once in a lifetime thing. So I wanted to make it the best experience that it could possibly be. On a personal level, it was absolutely massive for me. It was definitely one of the pinnacles of my career, one of the best things I've done. One of the things I know I look back on with huge pride when I'm like 95 years old. It was one of those things, like I grew up watching the Ireland football team. I love my football, a lot of you know that. I grew up watching the Ireland football team on the television when they were back playing in Lansdowne Road. I never got to go to games. My parents wouldn't really have been mad into football or anything like that. Myself and my brother, I suppose we grew up watching football and we picked it up in, you know, school and with our friends and just got an obsession with it, I guess. Well, I certainly did anyway. Just got an addiction to football in a way. But because our parents were never really into it, we never really went to matches or anything like that. And again, I was from a big GAA community, so that was what I was surrounded by all the time. And at times, I've definitely felt like the black sheep, being the football man and not into the GAA. But yeah, I suppose Lansdowne Road would have been kind of this mythical place that you see on the television and it looked incredible. And even though you never got to go there, you never missed an Ireland game when they were on television. Watch them all the time. As I got older, I started attending more and more football games. Sligo Rovers is my big passion in life. I discovered Sligo Rovers when I was in my teenage years, started going and like never went back. I've been attending Sligo Rovers for the guts of 20 years at this stage. Never miss a game. I go to all the home games, go to away games where I can. I've had a lot of stuff over the years with Sligo Rovers that's brought me a lot of joy. Some of those were days in the Aviva Stadium. I had some of the best days in the stadium. I've watched Sligo Rovers win cups in the stadium. I have been there in the good days and the bad days with football. I was there for Ireland games. I have a season ticket for Ireland as well. So I attend a lot of football games these days. I suppose when I was old enough to actually go to games myself, I started attending more. And yeah, it was just, I guess once you become an adult and you realise you can do what you want with your own money, I started attending more and more football games because that was where I got my thrill and that was where I just loved it. Absolutely loved my football. So yeah, I started attending Ireland games as well. I was there for some bad days in the Aviva too. I was never at Ireland games in the old Lansdowne Road. It was only after it became the Aviva Stadium I started going. And I remember the first time I went to the Aviva was actually with Sligo Rovers. It wasn't with Ireland, but just the place itself, you walk up to it and it's just this building that's absolutely magical. This just the architecture of it, everything. It's just a stunning building, absolutely stunning. It really is. But even going back with Ireland then in later years, I was at Ireland games and I was there for the World Cup playoff when we got absolutely hammered. Denmark beat us 5-1. Christian Eriksen scored a hat-trick. It was just like, it's one of those nights where you can't wait to get out of the ground and you just want to get home. And it was just, that was a horrible experience. But that's been Lansdowne, or not Lansdowne Road, that's been the Aviva Stadium. I've had good experiences there, I've had bad experiences. The most incredible highs with Sligo Rovers, then back to the lows of nights like that with Ireland. But I never in a million years thought I would have the opportunity to speak at the stadium. For me, who set out on my journey on my own, I had no clients, I had nothing behind me, I had no support, I had no resources, I had no money. But I just had this burning ambition to be the best that I could be in life and to just do the things that I knew I was capable of doing, even though it seemed like it was a million miles away. I had this huge dream and I had huge goals. And I just had a burning determination and desire to get to where I wanted to be. And I wasn't willing to take no for an answer on that. But even then, even I could never, ever have dreamed that one day I'd be speaking at the Aviva Stadium. I could never have imagined that the National Stadium. That's the stuff of dreams. Like, that is once in a lifetime stuff. I never thought I would be in a position to do that. So it was a magical day for me when I was turning up for that. And that's one of the main reasons I haven't been recording the podcast. You know what I'm like, guys? When I do something, I do it right. I don't want to half-arse things. If I'm going to speak at the Aviva Stadium, I want to make sure it's going to be an amazing day and I want to put all my time and energy into that. So I did spend the guts of 6-8 weeks really immersing myself in that to create the best possible experience for those attending that I could possibly do. So that was why I wasn't recording the podcast. I just wanted to put all my energy into that. And yeah, so it went really well. It was just, actually, if I'm being honest, it was above and beyond anything I even imagined. It went better than I could have even foreseen. It was just such an amazing day, having all of my Elevate clients there with me, having everybody in the room. The buzz was phenomenal. So I thought I would share with you today just a few lessons from that. And actually, there's more I'm going to share with you today around what's been going on since the last podcast, but this is the main thing that's been going on. So some of the key lessons from that. The first one is just the power of community. And I know we have an incredible community within Elevate, and I know how powerful that is anyway. And I didn't need the Aviva to show me that. But what that day in the Aviva did was it brought it to the next level altogether. When I seen everybody in one place, and I'm getting to meet these people that I've worked with online. And it's amazing. You get all these people in a room and they've only known each other from online communication, because we obviously got a private Facebook community and it's absolutely thriving. It's just this amazing support network. When you get them in a room, you recognize just what we've done and the scale of what we've done. Not even just the amount of people, but the way they approach it, the way everybody comes into a room. And it's like this sense of meeting your best friend. And it's just so amazing to see, because if you think about this in any other walk of life, if you put 40 or 50 people in a room together that don't know each other, that have never met, well, you're going to imagine it's going to be awkward as hell. And it's going to be really difficult to break the ice. And it's just going to be everybody kind of keeping themselves and being shy and nobody speaking. What we had was the complete opposite of that, because we fostered this sense of family, this sense of community through what we do with our online coaching. And when we got into that room, everybody's hugging, everybody's fist bumping, and it's just like this amazing connection. And to see that level of community that we've created, when it's in front of your eyes, for me as a coach and for me to recognize what I've built from the ground up and what these guys have helped me to build by coming on board, oh, it's so powerful. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And it was so rewarding for me to see that. And you know, if you were to ask me why our Elevate clients have such success, the levels of success they do, I would say there's a few different things. I would say the accountability is huge. I would say the guidance is huge. The support is huge. But the biggest factor of all is that sense of community. It's having that support network around you. It's having like-minded people around you. People who will pick you up on the good days and the bad days. And people that want you to do well. That genuinely want you to do well. People that are in your corner cheerleading for you. And you just get everybody in the room and the buzz is off the charts. It's absolutely different level. It's different scale. That community is what drives change. If you want, what's that saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Isn't that the same? It's something like that. But that's really what drove home to me, that powerful connection that we have, that sense of community. That's why the guys are doing so well. Because if you try and do this on your own, you might do okay for 2 weeks. We've got people within the program who are there 12 months. We've got some people who are there almost 2 years, all doing amazing stuff because they know the power of community and getting the right people around them. And that is invaluable. No matter what you want to achieve in life, you need to get good people around you. You need to get solid people around you. People who support your goals, people who are positive, people who are driven, people who want you to win. People who actually know what they're at as well, by the way. Because it's all great and well having positive people, but if you're not having proper guidance, that doesn't work either. So you need the sense of community, and you need people who want you to win, and you need the guidance and you need the support. All of those things are huge. When I seen what we created in the Aviva, I was so, so proud, and I was blown away by it. So one of the key lessons I took away is, no matter what you want to achieve in life, you need the right community around you. And I firmly believe that. The second lesson I have from the event is around imposter syndrome. And this comes up for me quite regularly. I say regularly, I've learned to manage it over the years, but no matter when I push out of my comfort zone, very often there is that sense of imposter. There's that sense of, sure, who wants to hear me anyway? Sure, like, I'm not as good as him, or I'm not as good as her. And I've had that right back to the days, even when I was doing radio. I went through a phase where, over the space of probably 18 months, 2 years, I was getting a lot of requests for radio interviews and things like that. And when I started doing them first, like, you're sitting in a radio studio and you're going, what am I doing here? I don't deserve to be here. I haven't earned the right to be here. I don't know what I'm doing. What if I mess up live on air and I become a laughing stock? What if I ruin my business by doing this interview? And then you have to recognize, well, actually, if you're here and people are asking you to do this, it's because you're doing something right. And you wouldn't be given that opportunity if you weren't doing something right. If people genuinely want to put you on radio stations, it's because something is resonating. It's because you know what you're talking about. Those radio chiefs don't put you on there if you don't know what you're talking about, unless they're trying to create some controversy, which I'm not really that controversial type of guy anyway. Well, I wasn't back then. Sometimes I can be a little bit more outspoken these days. But no, you have to recognize that you deserve to be there. And I suppose, not that I was feeling any imposter syndrome at the Aviva, I definitely wasn't, because I was comfortable in that environment. But the lesson from it was how far I've come, that that sense of imposter wasn't there. Don't get me wrong, I was nervous. On the morning of the event, I wasn't able to eat properly, and that rarely happens to me. Even now when I do speaking gigs or whatever, normally I would eat fairly okay on the morning, but on the morning of the event in the Aviva, I was really struggling to get any food into me. I was nervous, but I was also in control. The nerves weren't coming from a sense of imposter syndrome. The nerves were coming from a sense of, I suppose I had seen the venue the day before, I see how massive it is, probably built it up a little bit too much in my head, but I was also glad I went in the day before because it made me comfortable with the surroundings. I think if I had been seeing those surroundings for the first time on the day I was speaking, it could have overwhelmed me. So I was glad I did that. But even so, there was still some level of nerves on the morning. And because I knew, obviously, I would put so much time and work and effort into this occasion that I wanted it to go really well, that's where the nerves are coming from. But there was no sense of imposter syndrome. That's the first thing. And this is why the lesson is here for me, because in the past, there would have been a lot of sense of imposter. And I remember back to when I started speaking first, and I didn't think anybody would want to hear me speak. I didn't think I'd be good enough to speak. And you know, one of my good friends, Jerry Duffy, was also speaking at the event in the Aviva. I brought him in as a guest speaker. Jerry's somebody I look up to a lot, and Jerry is somebody who's been a great mentor for me. And I suppose I felt comfortable speaking alongside Jerry that day. Now, I'm not saying I'm as good as Jerry, because I'm not as good as Jerry. Jerry is the best speaker in the whole country. But I felt like I can still bring value to people. And I was able to see that, because if I look back to when I started speaking first, if I went down the road of comparing myself to guys like Jerry Duffy or Pat Dively, I never would have talked to the stage in the first place. I never would have got started, because I would have said they're a million miles ahead of me. I can't speak as well as them. So what's the point of me getting on stage? You know, if you actually accept that imposter syndrome and go with the story that you're not good enough and you run with that, that story is going to carry you for the rest of your life, and it's not going to lead you to where you want to be. So at some point in time, I had to recognize that even if I can't speak as well as these guys, maybe someday I will. They're just further along the journey than me. They've got more experience than me. They've got a lot more time. They've got a lot more hours put in than I have. But I was also able to recognize that even if I can't speak as well as these guys, I can still bring value to people. Might not be able to put on the same show, but I know I can help people in some way. And when I took that attitude, I took a little bit of the pressure off. It became about the message rather than about me. If I can focus on the message and bringing value to people, it takes the focus off what if I mess up. So that sense of imposter syndrome that might have been there a few years ago is actually not there anymore. And even back a few years ago when I did start speaking, I had to try and shed that imposter syndrome as much as possible. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't show up still. It does at times. And it'll probably continue to show up the higher you go at whatever you do. But that's normal. And all I can say to you is embrace it and don't shy away from it. Because the only way you can get good at something is by showing up and doing the reps and doing it over and over and over and continually putting yourself in that uncomfortable position. And when I look back to the event at the Aviva Stadium, I'm hugely proud that I was actually able to get to that level. Because when I started off, I never could have foreseen that I would ever, ever be there. Public speaking was just a huge fear for me. Public speaking was something I could never see myself doing. It was something that I decided I had to conquer, but it was hugely uncomfortable. And even after my first gig, I suppose I started thinking on a bigger scale. I got through it, so I'm going, what else could I do? But I never imagined it would take me to speaking at the Aviva Stadium when you think back to the young fella that would have watched the games at Lansdowne Road on the television. So yeah, if you're feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome now, focus on the good, focus on the value that you can bring rather than thinking about, well, I'm not as good as somebody else. This has come up for clients over the last few weeks as well. This is actually something that blows my mind. I know we have a lot of weight loss wins within the group, but actually over the last few weeks, six of our group within Elevate have received job promotions, which is just mental. It's absolutely insane. And like, those numbers are too high for it to be a coincidence. What that says to me is that growth mindset that people are taking on, that they're pushing out of their comfort zone now, that they're stretching themselves. I've spoke to these guys behind the scenes, and they have said to me, quite a few of them have said to me, most of them have said to me, it's that newfound confidence that I have from getting in shape and from fitness and showing myself what I'm capable of. You know, they feel empowered now. There's quite a few that have said to me, I wouldn't have had the courage to even go for the interview before I joined the Elevate program. So this just shows you that when you actually just take on the thing that's difficult for you, yes, it might start in fitness, and yes, you will get results in fitness, but that won't stay in the fitness realm. That confidence will overflow to all areas of your life. And that's why it's a life-changing thing to actually get yourself in shape or to embark on a fitness journey or to achieve things that you never thought you could, because it will actually massively improve the quality of your life. I know some of these guys, even though they've got the jobs, I mean, off the jobs, are still feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome. I've had these conversations with them, and there was one person told me, for example, like, she's delighted she's got the job because she knows in the long run that it will massively improve the quality of her life. It's better hours. It means she will sleep better. She'll have more energy. She'll have more time with her kids. She'll have more time for her training. So it will massively improve the quality of her life. But at the same time, there was a little voice in her head going, I'm way out of my comfort zone here. What if I fail? What if I don't do a great job? And a lot of that was also coming from the fact of comparison with the person who was in the job beforehand. And we have to recognize, no more than I'm saying there about myself, comparing myself to somebody like Jerry or Pat, those guys have more experience than me. They have more hours put in. They're meant to be better than me. If I'm starting off, I'm not meant to be at that level. Just like this person who's got the job promotion, she's not meant to be brilliant when she goes in first. She's meant to be learning the ropes. She's meant to be at a lower level. Over time, she might get to the level that the person before her was, but it doesn't matter because it's not comparison. If you are going into that job thinking, I have to be at the same level as that person, well, all you're going to do is set yourself up for failure, because you're probably not going to reach her level if you're just starting. And then you're going to feel like, I'm not actually doing this. I'm a failure. What happens then? Your confidence is dented. If you can just bring some level of expectation that it's a realistic level, and you go, well, I'm a beginner, I'm here to learn, I want to improve, I want to grow, but I'm on my own journey, then you'll do well. It's just that imposter syndrome again. So what I think was happening for that person was, even though she knows there are huge positives and it'll massively improve her life, there was negative feelings associated with it, because she's recognizing that this is uncomfortable in the moment. We also need to step back and recognize that being uncomfortable in the moment is a good thing, because discomfort is where growth comes from. We can only grow when we put ourselves in discomfort. If we're in a lovely comfort environment all the time, we do not grow. And there's a great saying, the comfort zone is where dreams go to die. The comfort zone is where dreams go to die. So if you're feeling uncomfortable right now, you need to remember in the middle of that, yes, I'm uncomfortable, but growth is going to come from this. And this is going to move me forward. So that's my second lesson. My third lesson from the Aviva is very similar to what I've just touched on, leaving the comfort zone. And this might sound like the simplest thing in the world, but I thought it was really powerful. A couple of our clients that did go to Dublin drove all the way from Sligo. Actually, a lot of our people drove from Sligo to Dublin. The Aviva Stadium is about 3 hours from Sligo. And then you're looking at people that actually did it in one day. So some people did a 6-hour round trip to be there, which is just absolutely incredible. And it shows the level of commitment, and it shows the power of what we've created. And I'm very, very grateful to those people for doing that. The lesson on this is, two people actually said driving there alone was a huge challenge for them. Driving around Dublin, the city that they didn't really know, and they were doing it on their own, their partner didn't go with them. It was a huge, huge out of the comfort zone thing for them. And they were so proud of themselves that they did it. And both people said to me afterwards, I'm so glad I did it. And there's a key lesson in that. It was difficult at the time. And I know for a fact one or two of these people actually did consider not going, because it was that thought of, Jesus, driving up there on my own, I don't know. Afterwards, they're going, I'm so glad I did it. They're so glad they did it, because they had the most amazing day. They learned loads. They were inspired. They were motivated. But they're also so glad they did it, because they overcame a challenge. They overcame an obstacle. And one of those people actually had to go back to Dublin a week or two later and drove it again, just to make herself more comfortable with it. And that's the message that I come back to. The more you do the uncomfortable thing, the more you become okay with it, because it becomes normalized. And I've always said, when you do the difficult thing, life becomes easy. If you always do the easy thing, life becomes hard. So that's a really, really positive lesson. Getting out of the comfort zone, driving alone to Dublin, around a city you're not comfortable in, and home again, huge sense of accomplishment. Might seem like a simple thing, but it's actually just, it's an amazing thing. So well done to those people. That was the event around the Aviva. That's the first thing that's been going on. There's been a few other things happening over the last 2 months as well that I need to catch up on, because we haven't had a podcast in 8 weeks. So I do apologise again. The second thing that happened was, I went on holidays. And I went on holidays before the live event. I decided I was going to take a holiday before the event, because I wanted to get my energy levels back up to make sure that I was absolutely at my peak showing up in Dublin. Energy is something I value hugely. It's one of the most valuable commodities we have. And I'm very particular about who I will give my energy to and what I will give my energy to. And even when somebody puts an opportunity in inverted commas before me, one of the main questions I will ask myself if I'm deciding if I'm going to do this or am I not, one of the main questions, some people might go to finances with that. Will it make me money or will it not? That's not my primary consideration. My primary consideration is, will this give me energy or will it take energy away? That's how much I value my energy. Because if I'm showing up my best with loads of energy, I'll make as much money as I want to anyway, because I'm bringing incredible energy, I'm bringing incredible value, I'm helping people change their lives. And people want to be around energetic people. So I value my energy hugely. I won't be around people who moan all day. I won't be around hugely negative people. I won't be around people who bitch and gossip. I'm not giving my energy to that. I know it doesn't serve me. I know it doesn't serve a purpose. It doesn't serve the mission that I'm on and the impact that I'm trying to make in the world. So my energy is something that's massively important to me. And even physical energy, not just mental, emotional energy, physical energy as well. I was getting a little bit run down before I went on holidays and I decided this is the time to go, get some sunshine, bring those energy levels back up so that I'm at my absolute peak for that event in Dublin. And I'd love you guys to think about this more as well. How do you protect your own energy? And are you planning as much as I'm planning? Or are you just showing up and leaving things to chance? Do you give it that level of thought where you're going, this event is on this day, I want to be at my absolute 100% maximum. What am I going to do to conserve energy and to protect energy and to promote energy? Or do you just stumble into it on the day without having given it any thought and you're half dead showing up on the day? Think about these things, guys. These things can actually change your life. So that was where I went on holidays. And one of the key lessons I had from holidays, and I shared this in the Aviva as well, was asking for help. And the old me might not have been so quick to ask for help, but I know now the value of that. I've got my own coaches. I've got my own therapist. I lean on these people a lot more than I ever would have before. When I went on holidays, I went away to re-energize, to come back feeling amazing. But there was a couple of difficult moments on holidays. There was a couple of mornings I woke up and I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. I felt really heavy. And it was that live event hanging over me because I was going, oh, I need to be working on my content. I need to make sure I'm brilliant on the day. I need to make sure everything is organized. I need to touch base with the people in the Aviva. I need to touch base with my guest speakers. I need to touch base with my videographer. And all of these thoughts are going to my head. And I just felt like, oh, this is getting on top of me. I felt anxious. I felt like just my shoulders were heavy. And in the past, what I might have done was just try to push through that myself and go, ah, sure, it'll be grand. It'll sort itself out. It'll be okay. Now I know when that time comes, speak to somebody. Just ask for help. There's no shame in asking for help. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. So as soon as I came home, I spoke to my own coach. I spoke to my therapist. Had great chats around this stuff. Just told them what was going on. And you know what? It's not even that you're looking for answers sometimes. It's just that you need to soundboard and you need to verbalize it. And it just feels like a weight coming off once you've actually had that chat. As the old saying goes, a problem shared is a problem halved. Not that it even was a problem, but sometimes it's just verbalizing it. And when you verbalize it, you recognize that it's not as big as what you're building it up to be in your head. And it's just a few small action steps maybe that need to be taken to move you in the right direction. So asking for help is a key lesson from that. The third thing that's happening that over the last 2 months since we haven't done a podcast that you might not be aware of, is that I'm doing a physique photo shoot in January. So my training has gone different level altogether since the last time I was on this podcast. I suppose, why did I do that? There's a few reasons I did it. I felt like I was going through the motions with my training. I was showing up every day, but I wasn't training with intent. I could have been doing a lot more. I was convincing myself I didn't have time. I was rushing sessions. I wasn't performing as well as I could. And that was just annoying me, because even though I knew it, I wasn't really acknowledging it. I was making excuses. I was justifying it because work is busy and because there's a lot of stuff going on. But I knew in my heart and soul I could be doing more, and I wanted to focus on my own trend again. I wanted to step things up. So that was one of the main reasons I did it. Same with food, because I'm working from home all the time now. I just found I was slipping into a couple of bad habits, and I was going, I just need to nip this in the bud. And what am I going to do to actually do this? Because I felt like I needed a challenge. I love challenge. I'm challenging myself a lot in business, but I haven't challenged myself in training in a while, and I felt like I was going through the motions a little bit. So went off, took on a coach. I said to him, here, you take care of this. I want you to program for me. I want you to tell me what to do. I'll follow it exactly like I do with my own clients. I just needed somebody to take that off my hands, because sometimes when you're programming for yourself, you do what you want to do rather than what you need to do. I needed somebody just to make me do the hard stuff. And it's not that I don't know what I'm doing. I just needed accountability. I needed somebody to hear, say to me, here, this is what needs to be done. So we sat down, we set a goal, and he said to me, what would you like to do? And straight off, I said, I'd love to do a photo shoot. And the reason I wanted to do a photo shoot was because I know the level of commitment that's required for it. And I know you can't hide and I know you can't cheat it. For a physique shoot, you're in the gym, the t-shirt's going to be off, you have nowhere to hide. It's do it. Like, you do the work or you ain't doing that shoot. Simple as, because you cannot hide on a photo shoot. So that was the level of accountability I wanted. That was the standards I wanted to be held to. And that's why I decided to do a physique photo shoot. It's been going really, really well. I've been enjoying it. My training has got back to a level of intensity that I love. The intensity is higher than it has been in a long time. And yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's taken a lot of energy. Yeah, it's taken a lot of time. But I am feeling absolutely incredible. So yes, it's taken energy, but I've also prioritized recovery. So I'm recovering so well. I'm sleeping so well. I'm nourishing my body so well. I'm eating so well. I'm just in that zone where everything is flowing and I feel incredible. The first part of the process for me was to gain a little bit of size. So I've piled on quite a bit of muscle. In the last 8 weeks or so, I've gained about 10 pounds. And people give me a funny look when I say that because they're going, well, why are you happy that you've gained weight? I'm happy that I've gained weight because that was the objective. The objective was to gain around about 10 to 12 pounds. But it's been done in a way that I've stayed pretty lean throughout that. So even though I've gained weight, the vast majority of that is muscle gain. So there's a lot of muscle tissue going on. So I'm quite a bit physically bigger than I was, but it's a lot of muscle. There's a lot of muscle going on. There's a little bit of fat gain, but nothing major. It's a lot of muscle. So that was the first 8 weeks. The next 8 to 10 weeks before the photo shoot, the plan is to get really, really lean. So at this point, the muscle is there. I'm now going to look at maintaining that muscle. So I'm holding on to it. But the next step of the process is just burning up body fat. So getting rid of any excess body fat that's there, getting really, really shredded so that I'm in incredible nick coming up to the photo shoot. That's the ultimate goal. Another reason I wanted to do that, guys, was to show that I can do it and that it is possible, because I see so many people that are just writing themselves off and I cannot understand it. It's like people in their 30s, 40, kind of just going, oh, my best days are past me now. Like, I have had people, and I regularly have people using this phrase, middle-aged spread, to me. Like it's a thing and it's normal and it's what everybody should do in their 30s and 40s, therefore it's okay. And they're accepting it. And I cannot get my head around it. I can't accept that. I'm sorry, I can't. Like, middle-aged spread, you're making excuses. That's what you're doing. You're giving yourself an out. You're going, it's not my fault. Everybody gets it. It's middle-aged spread. You can accept that for yourself if you want. I have absolutely no intentions of accepting it. I'm not going to get fat going into middle age. I'm going to tell you that now. If you want to do that, you do that. Don't let me stop you. But I'm not going to. And one of the reasons I'm doing this shoot, because the goal I set with my coach and the goal that I made public wasn't even that I want to do a photo shoot. It was that I'm going to get into the best shape of my life. And I mean that sincerely. I'm going to be in better shape for this shoot than I ever was in my 20s. I'm already in better shape than I ever was in my 20s. But when I do this shoot, it's going to be the best shape of my life. And that is to show people, it doesn't matter if you're in your 30s. It doesn't matter if you're in your 40s. It's possible. The only thing that's holding you back is the story you're telling yourself about why you can't do it. It's the bullshit about middle-aged spread. You're leaning on that. I'm calling you out right now. You are leaning on that. You're using it as an excuse. If you continue to do that, more weight's going to go on, more weight's going to go on. You're going to hit another 10 years and you're going to be pretty damn miserable. You're going to have no confidence. Your energy level's going to be crap. You're not going to be sleeping well. You're going to have health issues. You might even have physical pain. Now, if you want to keep leaning on middle-aged spread, that's the route you're choosing to go. But please don't think you don't have a choice. You do. That's what you're choosing. That is what you're choosing. The reason I decided I was going to do the photo shoot, one of the reasons, is to go the other way and show people what's actually possible when you decide, I'm taking ownership here and I'm going to make this happen. So that's been what's been happening with my training, and that is why I'm doing that. Anything else been going on? Yeah, clients have been doing really well. Clients have been absolutely crushing it. We've had an amazing year in Elevate. Like, I look at the standards that we've set, the results that are coming out. Like, we're just churning out success story after success story. People are changing their lives. And it's hard maybe for people on the outside to understand. It's hard for me to explain. Like, people want me to explain what we do. And sometimes I find it even hard to, you know, not sell the program, but like even explain to people what we do to justify it, because they're kind of looking at it thinking, oh, well, I don't know what's different. And I don't even know how to explain sometimes what's different. But I would very much say it's mindset, it's community, it's support, And people don't get the aspect of that until they're actually in it, in the middle of it. And therefore, it's hard for me to sell it on that because they're going, oh, I don't really know what you're talking about. They won't say that, but that's kind of the reality of it. But when you get in there, you see people doing so well. And like at the moment, we're in what I call separation season. Separation season is this time of year where nobody really is inspired to be training or to be outside in the horrible weather. But separation season is the season that separates those who are genuinely committed to their goals versus those who just like the idea of it. And this is what I've been pushing with clients a lot. We've been pushing this over the last few weeks, and the results that have been coming in since we started pushing it are just insane. Absolutely amazing, because people have bought into it and they're recognizing, I'm not doing what the public are doing. I'm going my own way here. I'm not going to sit back and just see out the rest of the year and feel sorry for myself because it's cold nights and I'm just going to sit in beside the fire. Then January comes and you feel absolutely crap and you're stuck in such a rut and you're so lethargic because you haven't been moving, because you've been putting junk food into your body, and it's impossible to pull yourself out of that rut. It's really difficult. We're going the other way. We're separating ourselves from the crowd. We're saying, while they're stepping off the gas, we're stepping on the gas. We're going to finish the year strong. We're going to feel absolutely amazing come Christmas time. When Christmas comes, you're meeting up with your family and your friends. You are full of confidence. You're able to wear whatever you want. You're feeling absolutely brilliant about yourself. You've made yourself proud. And you're looking back at the end of the year going, I have had some year, or I've had an amazing few months. And then we've got huge momentum going into January, and it's easy for us to pick it up. That's what I call separation season. Again, you've got a choice. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to finish the year strong, or are you just going to sit back and go, you know what, it's November, I'm not going to bother. Suddenly it's 2 months later, it's January, and you're not feeling so clever. So we're in separation season now, and our guys are absolutely crushing. They're doing amazingly well. One of the things that comes with this is, and this is probably what I'm kind of alluding to even when I speak about separation season and the way we're going versus what other people are doing, the biggest factor of all that I would see there is identity change. If you want to change your life, if you want to get into great shape, but if you want to do it forever, you're not just looking for a quick fix. If you want to do it forever, one of the biggest things most people are overlooking is identity change. They think it's just food, it's just training. Tell me more about that. It's actually not. Identity change is what's going to change things long-term for you. Because if you don't change the way you view yourself, then nothing is going to change about your long-term results. You now need to start thinking in different terms. You now need to start thinking in terms of, I am the type of person who never misses a training session. I am the type of person who gets my steps in regardless of the weather. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's windy. I don't care if there's snow out there. I'll get out and get the job done anyway. Because I now see myself as the type of person who gets the job done. I see myself as the type of person who does not lean on excuses. I see myself as the type of person who will not accept the middle-aged spread bullshit. I see myself as the type of person who will do what needs to be done. That's what I mean by identity change. How you view yourself. When you start seeing yourself in those terms, you start seeing yourself more as an athlete rather than just, well, you know, I kind of want to lose a bit of weight. I'll do it when the weather's nice. I'll do it in the summer. During winter, I don't like going out, so I'm not going to bother doing it. Again, it's your choice, but recognize that it's a choice. If you want to create long-term change, identity shift is one of the biggest factors that has to happen. That takes time. I get that. And I also get that it's not easy, by the way. I do get that it's not easy. This is why we support our clients through this hugely. And that's why they're killing it. And yes, you pay for coaching. It's not cheap. I get that. And we're not a budget option. I'm going to be straight up and say that. We're not a budget option. But you also get what you pay for. Like, pay once, do it right. Do it once and do it right. Change your life. Go through, alternatively, what a lot of you are doing, going through your whole adult life. You're spending 20 years. You've already spent 20 years. And you're going to spend the next 20 years going for the cheap option that has never fixed the problem. And you're still circling it over and over and over. Things like changing your identity is the stuff that we do. And that's the stuff that changes lives. Working on the mindset, it's absolutely fundamentally important. So the last thing then, I guess, if we're looking at why our clients are doing so well, the last lesson that I would have from it is we're educating them. We're giving them a lot of tools. We're giving them a lot of resources. And one of the things that we have even coming up now next week is the Ultimate Christmas Guide. And this is the sort of stuff that we do that just goes the extra mile. And I always say, go the extra mile. It's never crowded. The people that go the extra mile are the people who create great bodies. They're the people who create businesses. They're people who actually do extraordinary things in life. The people who go the extra mile. So we put on core trainings for our guys once or twice a month. This month, for example, we're doing a session on the Ultimate Christmas Guide. What we're looking at there is actually preparing people for going into Christmas. That there's a plan. That they're not just stumbling into December and then it's Christmas party season and there's temptation all around them at work and they've got no plan and January comes and it's chaos. We are setting out a guide now for how we're going to handle this. So first things first, We're not ruining anybody's Christmas. They're still going to massively enjoy their Christmas. There's not going to be limitations on them. But we are going to put plans in place to make sure that they're not losing the results that they've worked so hard for. We're going to put plans in place so that they're going to have an amazing Christmas. Absolutely incredible Christmas. Probably the best ever, to be honest, because they're going to be enjoying it. But they're going to be enjoying it without the guilt or without the shame or without the wondering about putting on weight or worrying about putting on weight or what am I going to do after Christmas. There's going to be none of that. So ultimately, we're putting on a training that's going to give these guys the tools, the resources, the information that they need to ensure they have the most enjoyable Christmas of their life, but that they're also going into that Christmas feeling confident, feeling ready, knowing exactly what they have to do, and they've got a plan in place, and they've got support around them, and that changes everything. So that's the type of stuff we do. That is the stuff that changes lives, and those are a few key lessons I thought I would share with you today. So yeah, I might leave it at that for the first episode back. I hope you have found something useful in that or enjoyed it or has maybe inspired you in some way. There has been a lot going on, as you can see. It's a little bit quieter at the moment. I'm trying to get a little bit of downtime, again, getting the energy levels back up because January is always mental. But that doesn't mean we're stepping off the gas. Within Elevate, we're absolutely crushing it. In my own training, absolutely crushing it. Still pushing hard for the rest of the year. Yeah, just getting a nice balance to it at the moment, I guess, more than anything else. But yeah, other than that, everything is going well. I am enjoying the whole process at the moment, enjoying life, enjoying training, and maybe I'll even record an odd podcast or two, get a bit more consistency back in with that. So guys, I hope you have enjoyed that. I am still taking on clients, by the way. If you are listening to this and you're going, I would love to do something before the end of the year, there is still time. You can still lose some weight before Christmas. You can still have good habits in place, have yourself feeling really good for Christmas, and it puts you in a much, much stronger position than in January. If you want to do that, just drop me a message on social media. Drop me a message on social media, struggling to get my words out there, and I will look after you as always. So I hope you've enjoyed that, and I will speak to you very soon. Cheers.